Okay, today's daf is Chulin Daf Kuf Chavav. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his family, his wife and children, and we thank him again continuously for the sponsorship. We're holding on Daf Kuf Chav Hey Amud Beis, and the first topic we're going to discuss is the status of Tumah Tumuna. We've been discussing the connection between Tumas Maga and Tumas Ohel, and that led us into a discussion that will lead us, or is leading us into a discussion of Tumah Tumuna. Tumah Tumuna means that you don't have a Paseach Tefach over the mace, and whether that Tumah is Bokas Viola, whether the Tumah goes straight through that which covers it, but is not a tefach, hovering a tefach above it. So we're going to have the shita of Rabbi Yossi as far as Tumas Tumuna, and we're going to question what the shita of Rabbi Yossi really is, because we're going to quote a Mishnah on the Kuf Chav Vav Amud Aleph. We're going to quote a Mishnah that has four different shitos about Basar Hameis that's inside of a Kelev. A dog ate Basar Hameis, and that Kelev is now dead and lying across a doorway of a house. When do we consider the entire house to be Tameh on account of the Basar HaMeis that's inside of the Kelev, and when do we not consider the house to be Tameh? We're going to have four different shitos, but the reason we're going to bring that Mishnah is because we think it's going to reflect on Rabbi Yossi's Shita as far as Tumah Tumuna is concerned. So we're going to have to reconcile Rabbi Yossi's Shita as far as Tumah Tumuna is concerned. Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to try to identify who is the Tana in Maseches Ha'alos that does not equate Tumas Maga with Tumas Ohel, because yesterday we learned of such an equation of Tumas Maga and Tumas Ohel, and the Gemara is going to talk about Tumas Maga on a bone with marrow or on any other type of basar that's enclosed, that's totally enclosed in something, whether there's such a status of Tumas Maga on the bone itself. And the Mishnah on Amud Beis, in the middle of Amud Beis, is going to talk about two cases. One about Tumas Maga when you touch an egg of a developing sheretz, meaning some of the shrotzim reproduce by laying eggs, and much like a bird would, and you touch an egg of a sheretz with a developing sheretz inside of it. And the other is going to talk about the unusual case of a sheretz that's half dirt and half sheretz, where the Mishnah assumes that the rest of the dirt in the that surrounds it is going to develop into a sheretz. And that leads to much scholarly discussion about what exactly the Tanaim had in mind. What kind of creature is that develops from the dirt? So let's begin. We left off really right in the middle of a conversation. We are at, Tahavi Ketuma Tumuna Bokas Viola. We had just quoted the Shita of Abaye. Abaye holds that only an Ohel that's Lamata Mitefach is called Maga. And that's why, so Abaye says that really, when the Brisa says that the Chavalim, when it talks about these Chavalim that are over the Tumah, if it's Lamata Mitefach, it's considered that it's Nogeya. And when we say that Meis Biksusahu, the Rav had said, well, shouldn't that be the same thing as the clothing on a mace where the Tumah shoots right through it? No, Meis Biksuso is different. Abaye had said, Meis Biksuso is Mevatale. The Tachrichim of the mace are bottled to the mace, and therefore they have the same status as the mace. But the Chavalim that hover slightly above the mace are not bottled to the mace, do not have a din of the Ksus HaMeis, and therefore could be Chotzit Bifnei HaTumah. So if someone touches above those Chavalim, they're going to be Tar. And So the Gemara now asks on Abaye, if the Brice is telling me that the Chavalim that are less than a Tevach above the mace, meaning that the Chavalim that the Brice is talking about are less than a Tevach above the mace, why would they ever be Chotzeitz? Vahalo, Tavi Ketumah Tumuna, even though they're not considered clothing of the mace, they're not bottled to the mace, but they should be considered like Tumah Tumuna that doesn't have a Chalal Tefach between the mace and that which is Ma'ahil on it, and Bokas Va'ola, and the halach is that it's Bokas Va'ola. The Tumah Tumuna goes right through, and Metame, that which is above the Oel. So if that's the case, someone who's Ma'ahil on the Chavalim should become Tameh. Kasav Rabbi Yossi, so the Gemara answers, no, Rabbi Yossi holds Tumah Tumuna, Eino b'kaas. A great chiddush that tumat tumun is not b'kaas. That if you do, even though you don't have a posach tefach above the mace, but you have something hovering above the mace, the tuma does not go right through it. So minat tema, where do you have such a? Where do you know that Rabbi Yossi holds tumat tumuna doesn't go right through? Is not b'kaas? It's not. It's a mishnah in the fourth parak of Masech Sahilos. Tevas hamigdal. You have a box that's meant to keep food or drink or something inside of it. Sheyesh ba posech tefach, and it has a posech tefach, meaning the inside of the box is a tefach al tefach begova tefach. It's a cube tefach, and therefore there's no tumat tumuna in it. Ve'in biyitziyasa posech tefach, but the opening of the box is not a tefach wide. Halach is as follows: tuma betocha. If there's tuma inside of that box, even though the opening of the box is not a tefach and the tuma is never going to go through that opening, even though the inside of the box is a tefach and the tuma is not tumuna, so it's not going to be bokas viola. Habay is tame. The rest of the house is still going to be tame mitrabanan, and we'll explain why in a second. Tuma bebayis. If there's tuma in the rest of the house, masha betocha tar. Whatever is being kept inside that box is protected from that tuma is tar. Why? What's the explanation for both of these dinim? Mipreisha derech tuma latzeis. It's the derech of the tuma inside of the box to go out into the house, because the tuma is going to have to come out of that box eventually. And how does it come out? It comes out through the Pesach into the house. So the Chamor goes there that even before it comes out, it's gonna be metame the rest of the house. The Rama writes in Yardes and Shinayin Aleph, this is part of the rule called Sof Tuma Latzeis, that since we know that the Tuma ultimately is going to come out through this Pesach, we view it as if it has already come out of this Pesach. Ve'ein derech Tuma likanes, but it's not normal for Tuma that's in the house, it's not natural that any Tuma that's in the house is necessarily going to go into that box, and therefore we're not gozer Tuma on the contents of the box when something Tame is in the house. We assume that whatever is inside the box is protected from that tuma. Rabbi Yossi mitaher. Rabbi Yossi is mitaher the bias even when there's tuma in that box. Because it may be true that whatever's in that box is eventually going to come out, but you could take it out in pieces where you don't have a sheer tuma at a time that comes out. So it could be that you take out pachos mishir tuma at a time into the house. Oh, l'sarfa b'makomo. You could also, it may never come out. You might destroy it while it's inside the box, so it's not so clear that it's ever going to come out of that Pesach, and therefore it's not going to be able to be metame the bias. Now the tuma that we're talking about l'chor is tumas hames. It's tuma of parts of a dead body. So what are we saying? That what are you going to do with it? You're going to cut it. You're going to burn it. Parts of a dead body. Chaznish points out it's usher to do that. You have to bury parts of a dead body. So the Chaznish says, yeah, but we don't know that people are going to act appropriately. It could be that the way ultimately this basar meis is going to leave this box is piece by piece or is going to be burnt. So even though in a chinami that's usher to do, it still might happen. Chaznish brings a riot from Tosos. Tosos writes that Rabbi Yossi's moda that if there's a meis shalem, then it's not the derech to take it out pachos mikazayas or to burn it, because by kavura of meis shalem people are very, very careful to make sure that they do a proper kavura. People don't take it as seriously when it's little pieces of a meis. Now if it were true that a kazayas is mutter to cut or to burn and only a meis shalem is asr, Tosfos should have said that Rabbi Yossi is only talking about a case where you could do it better, but that's not what Tosfos emphasizes. Tosfos emphasizes Rabbi Yossi is only talking about a case where people would be careful about it, but in either case it's actually usher to cut up the pieces of a mace. That's the ha'ara of the Chazanish. So what we're concerned about over here is that people will violate the halacha and will cut up the mace or will burn the mace, the pieces of the mace. And we have no such concern that someone would do that to a mace shalim. Now, the Katani Seifa, that Mishnah says, Hamida bePesach, that if the box is by the Pesach of a bayis, upischa lachutz, and the opening of the box is facing toward the outside of the house, so tuma betocha habayis tahar. If there's tuma inside that box, the whole house is going to be tahar, because the tuma is never going to be yotzei derech ha-pesach, because it doesn't have a posech tefach, and even and Tumah Tumuna is not Bakas Va'ola because there's a Chol Tefach inside of the box. So the Chomor never goes there Sof Tumah Latzeis because it's not going to be Asid Latzeis Derech Habayis. It's going to go out the other way. Even when it goes out, it's going to go out to the outside of the house. Tumah Bebayis, Masha B'toch HaTorah. If there's Tumah in the house, whatever's inside the box is going to be Tar. The Tani Allah, and on that Brisa, we learned in Rabbi Yossi Mitar, that Rabbi Yossi is Mitar. So Aheya, which din in the Mishnah does the Brisa say, on that Mishnah, the Brisa says Rabbi Yossi is Mitar. Which din in the Mishnah does the Brisa say Rabbi Yossi is Mitar on? Ilema Aseifa, if it's talking about the Seifa of the Mishnah, where you have this box that's right by the Pesach Habayis, and it's entirely in the house, but the Pesach of the box is outside of the house, that's where Rabbi Yossi is Mitaher. Well, Tanakama Nami Turika Mitaher. We just said that the Tanakama also holds that it's Tar in that case, that if the opening of the box is outside of the house, so then Rabbi Yossi is Mitaher. So no, it must be that when the Tanakama said in the first case that if the Tumah is inside of the box, that the house is going to be Tameh, when the opening of the box is inside of the house, and it's for one of two reasons. Either because the derech of the Tumah is going to go out of that box into the house, which is what the Tanakhama said beferish in the Reisha, that when there is a Paseach Tefach inside the box, but Ein Bitziyasa Paseach Tefach, even though the Tumah is not Ritzutza, but the bias is going to be Tameh because derech Tumah Latzeis, so that's what was said beferish. But another possibility is Vimishum Tumatmuna Bokas. The Tumah that's hidden inside the box is going to be Bokas right through the box. Meaning, let's say you were to change the case a little bit. Let's say there was not a Chalal Tefach inside of the box, and there was not an open air space of a Tefach. So Tanakhama would then say that, of course, the house is Tameh, because the Tumah would be Bokas right through the box and be Metame, whatever's inside the house, as if it were just sitting there, as if the Tumah were just out in the open in the house. And that you know that the Tanakhama holds that way from what he says in the Seif of the Mishnah, that when the box is in the house and the Pesach of the box is outside of the house, and there's a Poseach Tefach, then whatever's in the house is Tar. Why do you need that Poseach Tefach? Because if there wasn't a Poseach Tefach inside that box, then whatever's in the house would be Tameh, because the Tumah would be Bokas right through the box. So clearly the Tanakhama holds that whenever there isn't a Poseach Tefach inside of the box, the Tumah is going to shoot right through the box and it's going to be Metameh the whole rest of the house. Oh, and on that, the Karmel Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says, that which you're concerned about, Derech Tumah Latzeis, Yachlu Lotzia L'Chatzon L'Sarf B'Mekoma. I'm not worried about the Derech Tumah Latzeis because I'm not so convinced that the Tumah is going to come out intact. It might come out in pieces. It might be burnt B'Mekoma. Udekahamri, Tumah Tumuna B'Kas. And as far as your other concern, that if the box does not have a Poseach Tefach in it, the Tumah is going to shoot right through. Nah, Tumah Tumuna ain't a B'Kas. When Tumah is hidden, even if there's not a Poseach Tefach, it doesn't go through. This is the great chiddush of Rabbi Yossi, being mitired. It's against one of the basic rules that we always know in Tumas Oel, that we always assume Tumas Oel means that whenever you have a Poseach Tefach, that above the Tumah, that contains the Tumah. So, and if it doesn't have a Poseach Tefach, the Tumah is not contained and will shoot right through. Rabbi Yossi says even less than a Poseach Tefach, the Tumah will be contained. It will not shoot right through the box. So you see that Rabbi Yossi Shita is Tumah Tumuna is Eino Bokas. So says Gemara, V'rami d'Rabbi Yossi ad Rabbi Yossi. But I can ask a stira within Shita's Rabbi Yossi. It's not, because there's a Mishnah in the 11th parak of Maseches Ahalos that quotes four different Shitos about a particular case. And from Rabbi Yossi's Shita, as recorded in this Mishnah, we're going to see that Tumah Tumuna is in fact Boka'as. It's going to be a stira in Shitas Rabbi Yossi. So says the Mishnah. Hakelev sha'achal basar ameis. If you have a dog that had eaten flesh of human flesh, that's mitame ba'ohel, enough human flesh to be mitame ba'ohel, and the basar is not yet digested inside of the dog. It has to be that way, that it's not yet digested, because then it would lose the status of basar mace. Umes hakelev, and then the dog dies. If the dog were alive, even if it were entirely inside the house, it would not be metame, because tumah that's balua bebali chayim is not metame. That's a special halacha called tumah balua. So it has to be the dog is dead, and there is a there's basar mace inside this dog. Umutal al skofa, and the dog is lying across the threshold of the house with its neck inside the house, and the rest of the body where the tumah is right on the threshold of the house, outside of the house. So there's machlokas tanaim. In what way? How can you set this up that the house is going to be tumah with tumas oel from the basar mace, and when would it not be tumah with tumas oel from the basar mace that's inside the kelev? Four shitos. Rameir omer im yesh bitzavaro poseach tefach. So Rameir says, if the neck of the dog is a tefach high or a tefach wide, even though there's not a tefach of airspace inside the neck of the dog, the top of the dog's neck will form an ohel, and therefore mevias hatumah. It will bring the tumah through the neck from the basar mace that's inside the dog's body through the neck into the house. Because remember, the dog's mouth is inside the house, so that neck of the dog will be an ohel that will bring the tumah inside the house. V'imlav, but if the dog's neck is not a tefach thick, then ainu mevias hatumah. It will not form a proper ohel, and it will therefore not be mevias hatumah into the house. That's Reb Meir. Second shita, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rowin mikneged hashkofa lefnim habayis tamei, mikneged hashkofa lechutz habayis tahar. If the you have to look, the way the Gemara understands this line right now is you have to look at where the tumah is inside of the dog. The basar mace is somewhere in that dog. So where exactly is it located? Take an X-ray machine. Find that basar mace inside that dog. If it's keneged hamashkof lefanim, if it's on the inside of the house, where the so then the tumah is actually located inside the house, then abayis tameh. The whole house is going to be tameh. But if the tumah is actually physically located in a part of the dog that's not inside the house, then the house is going to be tahar. So that's what we assume, that Rabbi Yossi is coming to disagree with Rav Meir's kula. Rav Meir is saying that we're going to be mitahir when the neck of the dog is less than a tefach wide. So Rabbi Yossi says, no, you have to look at where the tumah is. If it's min hamashkof lefanim, then the whole house is going to be tameh. Because even though the neck doesn't form an ohel, it's not going to be mavir the tumah, but the basar mace that's in the kelev is going to be bokas right through it. You don't need an ohel to bring the tumah. The basar mace, if it's in the house, goes right through the dog. So the house is mahil on the tumah. And if the tumah is outside of the house, so the bias is going to be tar, because the bias is not mahil over the tumah at all. And the neck of the dog is certainly not an ohel either. It doesn't have a rochav tefach. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar has a third shita. Piv lifnim, if the mouth of the dog is inside the house and the tail of the dog or is outside the house, the back of the dog is outside of the house, habayis tar, the house is going to be tar, because you're not going to say sof to malates, because since when does an animal eat something and then it come out through its mouth? It was never sof to malates through the mouth of the dog. It was sof to malates through the other end of the dog, and the other end of the dog is outside of the house. But if it's the reverse, piv lachutz, the mouth of the dog is outside of the house, then abayis tameh, reisha tumah yotzeh derech shulyam, then the house is going to be tameh, because we do say sof tumah latzeis on the other side of the dog. So if the back of the dog is inside of the house, that we would say sof tumah latzeis. So this is something that bothered a number of the achronim. Sof tumah latzeis on the back of the dog is dead. It's not, the tumah is not going to come out of the back of the dog. The basar is not coming out of this dog. And not only that, even when the dog was alive, the basar mace was never going to come out of the back of the dog in its tumah status. It was going to be digested first. And once equal happens, forget about it. It's no longer even considered basar mace. So what does this mean? Sof tumah latzeis through the back of the dog. So the Maritz Chayis is bothered by this. And the Maritz Chayis says that Reb Lazar holds that tumah balua is not metame while the dog is alive, but midin sof to melotze, it's metame, because it still has a shem tuma even when it is balua. So the din of sof to melotze is not because it's necessarily going to be metame the bias that we say sof to melotze, that it's going to go there and be metame. Sof to melotze means look at the tuma where it is right now. If wherever it's going to go, we view it in its current state as if it has already gone there. So that's the idea of sof tum alatzes. So anything that the tumah is going to go to, even though when it goes, it's already going to be digested and it's not going to be tumah, we view it in its current state as if it's already there. So that's how the Maritz Chayis understands. But difficult. All the acronym have difficulty understanding the application of sof tum alatzes to this case. Okay, so now in this, and then we have a fourth sheet. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Bein Kach Bein Kach Abayis Tameh. Whether the zanav of the animal is in the house and the peh is outside of the house, or whether the peh is inside the house and the zanav is outside of the house, whether the basar ameis is located in a part of the animal that's inside the house or outside of the house, whether the neck of the kelev is a tefach or not a kelev, or not a tefach, all the other qualifications, the first three tanaim made, all the other, you know, the other shitos where they said, oh, it depends on this, where Amir says it depends on whether the neck of the dog is a tefach. Rabbi Yosef says it depends on where exactly inside the dog the basar ameis is. Rabbi Lozer says it depends where the mouth of the dog is versus where the back of the dog is. All of those three things don't make a difference. In all the cases, habayis tamei, says Rabbi Yehuda. The house is going to be tamei as long as something is inside of the house. Either the pet or the zanav is inside of the house, because he holds sof to melatzes, but we say sof to melatzes both on the mouth and on the back of the dog, because the tumah can come out. Either we would say sof to melatzes both on where the tumah came in from, as well as where the tumah is going to go out. Two. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, as understood by Rashi. Then Rashi quotes another shita, that it's not about that we look at where it came in from and say sof to melatzes, but there is always the possibility that while the dog was alive, that it could vomit up whatever it ate. So it might actually be a sof to melatzes. There's actually the possibility that it would come out through the mouth. But that's the point, that as long as any orifice of the animal is inside the bias, the entire bias is tame. Okay, but why did we quote all those four shitos? Because Rabbi Yossi was among them. And Rabbi Yossi said, you look at where the tumah currently is right now. And if the tumah is right now in the house, inside the dog's body, but in part of the dog's body that's in the house, then the whole house is going to become tame. So says the Gemara, my love, ain b'tzavar poseach tefach koi Rabbi Yossi. Isn't Rabbi Yossi talking about a case where there is no poseach tefach that's covering this tumah, where a mayor was mitar the bias because it said there's no tumah soel, and Rabbi Yossi comes to me machmir and say, I know there's no oel am shacha, but it doesn't matter. The basar ameis is in the house, and it's going to be bokas viol. It's going to shoot right through the body of the dog. Ushmamina tumah tumuna bokas. So you see that Rabbi Yossi holds that even though it's tumah tumuna, it's bokas. It goes right through. So it's a stira in Rabbi Yossi. So because of that, the Gemara says maybe we're misunderstanding Rabbi Yossi shita in the Mishnah. Amar Rava. Rava says, Rabbi Yossi is not coming to be machmir against Rameir on what Rameir was mitayher. Right? Rameir said, if there's einbo poseach tefach, it's automatically tahar. And we understood that Rabbi Yossi saying, no, even if it's einbo poseach tefach, but the basar ameis is inside the house, it's going to be tameh. No, Rabbi Yossi is coming to be mekil on the case that Rameir was mitameh. What case was Rameir mitameh? If the tzavar of the behema was a chalal tefach, if you have a tefach in the neck of the animal, so Rameir all. Oh, that creates an olam shacha. It's maybe the tumah into the house. That's where Rabbi Yossi says, no, the oel is not going to be maver the tumah unless there's a chalal tefach. Rowan is chalal hatuma katani. That Rabbi Yossi says you have to look at the neck of the dog. If there's a chalal tefach, a hollow area of a tefach inside, that would bring the tumah into the house. But if there's no chalal tefach, it's not going to bring tumah into the house. So that which Rabbi Yossi then goes on to say, that if the tumah is mina mashkal v'lefnim, the bayis is tameh. If it's mina mashkal v'lechutz, the bayis is tar. That's a totally separate issue, and it has nothing to do with the rowan part of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi betarti pligi. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with two things that Rameir said. The kamele the Rameir, he's telling Rameir, the ka'amr ki yesh b'tzavaro Maseach Tefach. That which you said, if the entirety of the neck of the dog is just a Tefach, that it's maybe a Satumah, he says, I disagree with that. Anan basar chalala azlinan. It's not the thickness of the neck of the dog that you're looking at. It's the hollow area inside the neck of the dog that you have to look at in order to create an ohel. So that's point number one that I disagree with you about. Udika amrit. And point number two, aliskofa kula tame. That which Rameir says that the entire threshold of the house is tame, meaning wherever the mouth of the dog is on the threshold of the house, that would be enough to be metame the whole house, because the mayor views the entire threshold to be like the inside of the house. So Rabbi says, I disagree with that as well.
I hold that only where the door closes, from that point and in, from meaning the door closes somewhere in the middle of the threshold, but only from where the door closes and inside is considered the inside of the house. From where the door closes and out, that's considered mekineged hashkof lechutz habayistar. That's considered the outside of the house, and the mouth of the dog being there would not be maybe the tumah. The neck of the dog being there would not be maybe the tumah into the house. Two totally separate machlokas. So when he talks about minashkof lefnim, minashkof lechutz, he's not talking about where the basar mace is. It has nothing to do with the basar mace. He's talking about where the dog is, where the opening of the dog is. That you want to say that some part of the dog is going to be maybe the tumah. That's only if the dog is partially in the house. And I disagree with the definition of what's called inside the house. This may not sound like it's very nogeya lemaisa, but it actually is extremely nogeya lemaisa. What do you consider to be the inside of a house, and what do you consider to be the outside of a house? So nowadays our thresholds are not so big, you know, that we have very narrow Suras HaPesach where our doors are. But if you have a very thick one, so where the door is, Rabbi Yossi says is going to be the determinant. And just to before we get into the discussion, Rabbi Yossi Yomar Rowan is Chalala Tuma. That he had a beferish that Rabbi Yossi's first disagreement with Rameir was about not that it's not about the thickness of the neck of the animal, but the thickness of the chalal inside the neck of the animal. There is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Nun Hei in Hilchos Tefila that in order to have a minyan you need 10 people davening b'makom echad and the shliach tzibur imahem, that they all need to be in the same room. Shliach tzibur needs to be with them, and someone who's standing inside the Pesach mina agaf v'lechutz, and in a way where if you were to close the door, he would be outside of the door. That's kilechutz. That's considered to be like he's outside, and therefore he's not mitzarif to the minyan. That's the sheet of Rabbeinu Yeruchim. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. And where's it derived from? From Hilchos Pesach. Pasuk says in the Chumash by Karm Pesach, lotzotzi min habayis min habasar chutza. They're not allowed to bring any of the basar outside of the bayis. And the Gemara in Pesachim darshins that the agav atzmo, the threshold itself, which is considered to be kilachutz, and you're not allowed to bring the basar Pesach there. And that's where Rabbeinu Yeruchim gets his halacha about siruf l'tfila. This is something a lot of people are unaware of. I asked Rav Shechter many years ago when my father-in-law was sitting shiva for his father, like, oh, what should we should keep in mind for the shiva house, any halachas that people are unaware of. He said sometimes the homes that they sit shiva in are set up in such a way where there are a bunch of small rooms next to each other, and because the people don't like to be crowded, so you don't have 10 people actually in one room davening. You'll have 8 people in one room and then 3 or 4 people in the next room right next to it, and they think that that's a minyan, that they're being mitzarif to a minyan. That doesn't work, because you need 10 people in a single room to be mitzarif to a minyan. So what's called in that room? So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that if you're min ha'agav v'lechutz, that's not considered to be in the room. So Mishmur quotes that the Magen Avraham writes that there are those that argue on the Shulchan Aruch and hold that even in the min ha'agav v'lechutz, if is considered to be bifnim, and the Mishmur actually paskins that way. So the one of the rayas, the Chikrei Lev, brings from all over Shas, one of the rayas to that discussion is the Mishnah that our Gemara just quoted, that the agaf is considered to be kibifnim, because we said that the dog that eats the basar mace and the mace and the dead dog is lying on the eskofa. Rabbi Yosef says you see where it is on the eskofa. Mikinegra hashkofa lefnim, the bayis is tameh. Mikinegra hashkofa lechutz, the bias is tar. So the Rishonim explained that Rabbi Yossi holds that it's that min a kineged hamashkof lifnim, the bias is considered as if it's inside the house, and that includes the agaf. So the agaf is considered to be kibifnim, and the same would therefore be true when it comes to tefillah. So even though this is halacha and hilchos tumah v'tahara, this is very relevant to a discussion halacha when it comes to tefillah. Okay, now the Gemara had said that according to Rabbi Yossi, tumas ohel is considered maga. I mean, going back to yesterday's conversation, that Rabbi Yossi equated maga with ohel, or ohel with maga, and we had said that the Mishnah in the third parak of Maseches Alos says that if you're ma'ihil on a kachatzi zayis and your hand is touching directly another chatzi zayis, you're not tameh. So the Mishnah obviously holds that ohel and maga are not the same. They're not mishem echad. They're not mitzdareif. Right? They're two separate forms of tuma. So then the Gemara is going to explain. Okay, we know Rabbi Yossi disagrees with that Mishnah. Who agrees with that Mishnah? Who could the author of that Mishnah be? So uman tana de polygale. Who's the one that disagrees with Rabbi Yossi in yesterday's daf that tumas ohel is called maga, and in fact holds that tumas ohel cannot be mitzdareif for tumas maga, and it's therefore not called maga? It's interesting. Rashi, when he gives the example of what of the one who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi and holds that it's not mitzdareif, Rashi says, and therefore would hold that someone who touches a chatzi zayis and has a dover acher ma'ihil alav v'al chatzi zayis, that he's going to be tahar. He does not talk about a case where you have one hand hovering over a chatzi zayis and another hand touching a chatzi zayis. He talks about a case where you're touching a chatzi zayis and you have an olam shacha that connects you to another chatzi zayis. So the Rishonim are bothered by that example. Tosfos, the Ramban, the Rashba, they say, well, wait a second. If you're nogea chatzi zayis and then you have an olam shacha over another chatzi zayis, even Rabbi Yossi would say that that's not mitzdarif. Because if you remember, even Rabbi Yossi, who associates ol with maga, not by an olam shacha, not when you're under not the kind of ol where you're under the same roof, only when you're mai hilalav, he holds that when you're hovering over something, that's considered like maga, but not when you're under the same roof. So that's difficult why Rashi would give that example. But anyway, who's the Tana that disagrees with Rabbi Yossi and thinks that ol and maga have nothing to do with each other? Rabbi Shimon, who? It's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, because we have a brisa when it comes to tumas meis, that we have a halacha that a meis is metame in three different ways: maga, masa, and ohel. And there are lots of things that come from a mace that are also metame in a similar way to a mace. You have like a kazayas basar, shidro or gulgolas, a rova kavatsamos, etzem kisora, male tarvid rekev. You have all sorts of different things. Rov minyan or binyan of atzamos, all sorts of things that are metame like a mace. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, so Rabbi Shimon comments that shalosh tumos parshos min a mace. There are three particular types of tumah that are porish min a mace, meaning they come on account of a mace. And nevertheless, shtayim b'kalach hashlish shesem ben. Of the three types of tumah, maga, masa, and ohel, two of those types of tumah will apply to each of these three things, a different two to each of them, but and the third one will not apply to each of these three things. Veiluhein, these three things are, these three forms of a mace that only are subject to two of the types of tumah are a melot tarvid rekav, a spoonful of rekav min ames, ve'etzem kasora, a bone the size of a sora, ve'gol of the dofik, and the coffin of the mace. Simple pshat, the coffin of the mace. So melot tarvid rekav, the spoonful of rekav, is metami mas ba'oel, but ve'ena metami maga. Is going to be metami mas in oel, and not b'maga. Ve'echan maga'o, imachas mehen. Where then can a mace be metami b'maga? With the other ones, but not with the melot tarvid rekav. Etzem kisaora, an etzem kisaora of a mace, is metami mas maga, ve'ena metami ba'oel. It's metami mas maga, but not ba'oel. Ve'echan ahalo, so where do we ever have tumas oel? Imachas mehen, with one of the other ones, but not with an etzem kisaora. Gol and that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Gol of the dofek metame b'maga ba'oel. The gol of the dofek, the coffin of the mace, is metame b'maga and ba'oel, but ve'eno metame b'masa is not metame b'masa. Ve'hechem masa'o, where can you have tumas masa? Imechem him with one of the other ones, but not with the gol of the dofek. So the Gemara actually has a machlokas tanoim whether that din of gol of the dofek being metame is halacha l'moshe m'sinai or it's derived from pasuk b'kol asher yi. Al Pnei Asada, the Rabbos Gol of the Dofek, Rabbi Shmuel Old Zalach Moshe Misinai, and so according to that shita, Rashi explains part of the Alach Moshe Misinai must be that it's not Metame Ba'ol. Rabbi Kiva is derived from Pasa, pasuk. So Rabbi Kiva will have to find in that pasuk how we also know that it's not metame ba'al. Well, good. So the Rishonim work on that also. But that's the halacha, that it's not metame ba'al. Now, from the fact that the Brisa says that Rabbi Shimon holds that melot tavrid rekav is metame ba'al and not metame b'maga, you see that oel and maga are not the same thing. That he disagrees with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi thinks oel and maga are the same thing, but Rabbi Shimon holds that no, you could have one without the other. Kolus nevela v'kolus hasheretz. Now the Mishnah had said that if you have bone that has marrow in it of a nevela or of a sheretz, so if it's totally enclosed and you touch just the bone, you're tahar. But if there's a neck of kolshu, then it's metame b'maga and it's metame b'masa as well. And meaning the even though the moach that's inside the bone has a full din of basar, but if it's totally enclosed, it doesn't have the capacity to be metame. But if there's some way to access that moach, then it does have the capacity to be metame, even by only touching the etzem, because that becomes a shomer for the moach. So Tanur Rabbanan, we have a brisa. The Torah says by a nevela of a behemoth Torah, it says benivlosa, that basar of a nevela is metame. So we darshin velo b'kol estuma, but not if it's totally enclosed inside of a bone. So yachla filu nitfa, I might think that it's not metame even if the bone has a hole in it. Tamalomar hanogei yitma eshef shaliga tame. Any time that meat is accessible to maga, it can become tame. Eshef shaliga tar, but if it's not accessible to maga, it's totally enclosed, then it's going to be tahar. Amalei Rabbi Zera la'abaye elamayata. If that's the case, behema ba'ora lo tetame. Whenever you have basar mace that's inside the or of the behema, you haven't skinned the animal yet, it shouldn't be mitame as basar nevela because it's totally enclosed. So he says, what do you mean totally enclosed? Puk chazi, kamina kavim, yeshba. There are lots of holes in a behema. There's the eyes, there's the mouth, there's all sorts of ways to get into the basar on the inside of the body. So amalei Rabbi Rava elamayata. A kidney that's inside of the chalev that surrounds it should not be able to be metame because it's totally enclosed by chalev, and chalev is not metame binevela tumas nevela. Only basar, the kulia itself is considered to be basar, but the chalev around it is not. So tachazi kamachut nimshach neimena. Yeah, but there are lots of pieces of the kulia that extend beyond the chalev, so it's not totally enclosed. Do you need to actually have punctured the hole? What if you only had a machshava to puncture the hole, but you haven't yet done it? Do we consider it as if it's not punctured or yes punctured? Hadar pashta, mechusar nechiva lav kamechusar ma'isadami. Once you plan on doing it, then and you have machshava to do it, that's enough. It already is considered that the basar is accessible, and therefore touching the etzem is going to be metameyu. Now, new Mishnah, two halachos in this Mishnah. Beitzas hasheretz hamaru kemes. If you have a forming sheretz inside of an egg, tahora, it's going to be tar if you touch it, because you're not able to touch the sheretz inside of it. You have no access to the sheretz inside of it. Similar to the moach inside of a totally enclosed etzem. Nikva kolshu tame. But once there's any hole in the outside of the egg where something can touch what's on the inside, then you're going to be tame, provided that it's developed enough that what's on the inside is in fact tame. And then the Mishnah says the unusual case. Achbar shechetzio basar v'chetzio adama. If you have a mouse that currently is half flesh and half dirt, hanogea bebasar tame. If you touch the basar part of it, you're tame. Ba'adama tar. But you touch the dirt part of it that has not yet developed into the rest of the mouse, it's going to be tahar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af hanogea ba'adama shekineged ha'basar tame. Now, even if you touch the adama that's keneged ha'basar, meaning the part that ultimately will become part of the mouse, that will make you tame as well. The Mishnah seems to be assuming that there exists such a thing, that there's such a creature that's half dirt and half mouse. There's a famous passage in the Tiferes Yisrael where the Tiferes Yisrael says, and don't ask the question, what do you mean? Could there ever be such a thing that's half dirt and half mouse? He says, because there is a German book authored by a very famous Gentile scholar named Link, and in his Erwelt Volume 1, page 327, Tiferes Yisrael is very scholarly, he says that in Egypt there is such a thing, and it exists, and therefore he's a famous zoologist, and therefore you shouldn't wonder, it actually does exist. So leave it to Rabbi Dr. Schner Lyman. He found the German book, and he looked up what it said in the German book in Chazon Nachum, in honor of Rabbi Lamb's 70th birthday in 1997, YU published a volume So Dr. Lyman wrote an article in there where he said clearly it was a misreading of this zoologist's book, and he clearly came to the opposite conclusion. Tiferes Yisrael was not trying to fool us. Tiferes Yisrael must have misread some of the lines in German, or must have been told about it without seeing it directly. But in reality, he was saying that there is no such creature, nor do we know of any such creature. That does not necessarily mean, you know, that shouldn't call into question our emunah, because the Mishnah talks about such a creature whether it exists or not. Meaning the Mishnah talks about a lot of things that don't really happen, right? We have a lot of strange cases that come up throughout Shas that aren't that don't happen in the world, but halacha creates a theoretical construct. And based on that theoretical construct, we can learn a lot of things that are no gael lemaisa. So this would just be another example. There are many cases in Shas like that. There was a Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael recently that got very upset about all the discussions in Shas about writing a get on an eved and then giving the eved, can a get written on him? That's inhumane. How can we talk about that? So Shas pointed out, it's not inhumane. We're not talking about anything. We're talking in theory, in halacha. We're not talking about, like, this isn't like, it wasn't a common practice that this is what Jews were doing. This is the way we talk in Mishnayos in general. You have lots of cases like that. Okay, so Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Gemara analyzing this.